Consider that an award for all of Democracy Now! And all of its supporters as well. As we head out on our 100-city tour, today we'll be at Columbus, Ohio, at The Ohio State University. Check our website. I'll be speaking on Saturday in St. Louis, Columbia, and Kansas City, Missouri on the 9th, Los Angeles and Santa Barbara on the 10th, and then in San Francisco on the 11th at City Arts and Lectures, Palo Alto, Stanford University, and then Santa Clara, both on the 12th. I want to say happy birthday to Matt Ely and to our amazing Democracy Now! Crew. Thank you so much. Democracy Now! Has two job openings. Check them out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Today is April the 8th. It starts with an A, it's similar. Okay. And things are getting very exciting here at WHFR and at Henry Ford College, of course, too. For the college, registrations are open now for spring, summer, and fall. And here on this show, the new WHFR Journal, Local News and Alternative Views, we have a special guest to kick off the show today, and it is Diane Green from the Henry Ford College Counseling Department. Diane, welcome to the WHFR Journal.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Let me try that again. We didn't hear your mic on. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And again, we learn by doing around here, and sometimes
true.
It has to be on the air. And people get a chance to learn by talking to, I think, the really best people about some career areas that they might not have regularly considered. These programs we talked about on this show before, usually it's every fall semester and winter semester that
correct.
It's offered, and it's sometimes different. This time, if I'm correct, it's non-traditional health careers for men.
Absolutely.
And
that's the focus.
Very, very many possibilities here, too. It's going to be next, let me start by just in people's minds, it is a free workshop, seminar, if you will, here at Henry Ford College main campus, and it is next Wednesday morning. And registration and continental breakfast starts at 7:30. That's free. It's part of the experience. And at 8 o'clock, they start with presentations. And there's so many different areas. I'll let you talk about them. And as I said, it's both it's a lot of great information. It's about 15 to 30 minutes or an hour in some cases, depending on the complexity, let's say, of the career in terms of
yes.
trying to explain it.
Yes.
And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different areas that
yes.
are covered. And so many men, why wouldn't many men know about these things? Or do they think that health is only for women?
Well, you know, I think...
I mean, other than being a doctor.
Right. I think that that myth is quickly fading, and more men are recognizing that these are, in fact, very viable areas to pursue. What I think many of them don't know are perhaps the range of programs that, in fact, are available. And in this case, we're highlighting those programs that are state-approved by Perkins.
That's a federal grant
federal
money.
Federal grant money that's made available to institutions. And we are, in fact, highlighting those programs which still demonstrate a shortage of males being represented within those professions. So this is an opportunity to highlight programs, many of which individuals are not aware of. They know about nursing. Mm-hmm. We've had a nursing program for many, many years. We were one of the first community colleges in the country, one of two institutions, should I say, that actually started a nursing program. So we have a very solid, reputable program, and people know that is there. But again, highlighting that, mm-hmm, that yeah, we have that, yeah, as well as the other programs.
I would say I think men are aware that they can go into the career as a nurse, but they may be a little hesitant because they may not know all the details of things. And actually, there's great opportunities there and great needs. So, but certainly the fact that we have had nursing as a premier program since the early days, came here, even
me.
Yeah. Okay. And so there's a great explanation that goes on, or a presentation that goes on for, looks like a whole hour, about the nursing program.
The other thing that we're really highlighting are the labs to the programs. We're not able to do nursing because it's on the East Campus, but highlighting the labs so the individuals who are participating are able to see what actually goes on in that training, what kinds of instruments are used.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Just go down the list here of the programs. Again, one of the eight is nursing, but then there's medical assistant program, mm-hmm, physical therapy program, respiratory therapy, mm-hmm, which is a separate area from physical therapy, and you can specialize in, I mean, totally as a career, in one or the other here, radiography and surgical technology.
And our newest program, ophthalmic technician, dealing with the eyes.
Okay.
And that program has taken off very beautifully for us, with more and more individuals expressing, mm-hmm, an interest in that area.
Well, we need a lot of good people in that field. I had, and maybe this happens, it never happened before, I went in for a pair of glasses, a new prescription last year, and went to a very, very reputable, I won't mention the name, vision clinic nearby the college, and they got it wrong three times. The prescription was uncomfortable and just wrong three times. Mm. And they had tens of thousands of dollars of technical machines, not just for eye exams, where there was, saw three doctors in a row, okay, because they each did a little bit, and then for the fitting, there was two or three or four technicians, each of them did something different, mm-hmm, in terms of fitting it to my face, not, mm-hmm, just selecting the style. Wrong three times. So I finally was able to get a full refund and get out of there. Now, of course, I'm a very old person, so maybe my eyes are really weird these days, but nonetheless, I went to a little place in a suburb of Detroit, what recommended my daughter, and they take teachers' eyeglass insurance coverage, and I said, oh yeah, they just assumed that both of your eyes were an equidistant from the top of your nose.
Mm-hmm. And they're not.
No, in my case they're not. Mm-hmm. One eye is a little further over than the other one, and that was the basically the whole problem. And they, after I described it to them, I described it three times to the other doctors and all of their dozens of staff. So I'm just saying, it's not, folks, you might think that, fitting eyeglasses is fairly easy. There's a machine or it's computerized, but it takes people that actually can appreciate the individual differences of the patients, and that don't necessarily trust the machines only. They
Absolutely.
Also trust what the patient is telling
Absolutely.
Them. I mean, patients often don't know how to describe exactly what the issue really is because they don't know the technical terms. But I'm just saying, yes, we need good people in this field so we can continue seeing what we need to see.
The other wonderful piece about this program, and I've had an opportunity through the Kresge Eye Institute and seeing some of the ophthalmic techs working, mm-hmm, they really do the intake, they do the initial screening, and they do the very basic initial eye test in preparing the patient to see the ophthalmologist.
Mm-hmm.
So they're even more intricately involved in the examination of the patient in preparation for seeing the doctor.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, until this year, I didn't realize it was getting more complicated or such a big deal. Although, again, if you have a specialized issue or a problem, like maybe my situation, then it takes a village, let's say.
That's right. Sometimes that happens. Rather than
the high technology alone, it takes a village of people and good people. So we have that program. That's new in the last couple of years, the ophthalmic technician program. They couldn't just say eye technician, huh? No, that'd be too easy.
Well, we say OPT. That's what we call it.
That makes it easy.
Affectionately called OPT.
So you can learn about that program and the seven other programs in health careers and the nursing area included in that next Wednesday morning for free. If you or anyone, whether you're registered already here at the college or you're just interested in exploring that career, again, this seminar is especially focused on the opportunities for men who might not have considered these health careers. They're called non-traditional, but in fact, they're being done every day, so it's not like they're, you know, fringe area science in any or not even science. They're all totally solid, important,
recognized
programs that people are doing right now. Mm-hmm. But there are needs for men and women, but all especially men may not have considered that. And if you're looking for a job, you're interested in the medical-related field, and there's a big growth going on there. If you were just healthier, we wouldn't have to see the doctors as much, but
great that they're there when we need to see
them. In the past, we just suffered because the doctors didn't know what the heck was going on, but now they have all these specialties, and they can really help you if they get properly diagnosed and they set up the right program for you. So we have that here. The seminar is always called Imagine the Possibilities, and it's a non-traditional health careers seminar workshop for men, and it's going to be right here on the main campus in our Hackett Conference Room in the Health Careers Education Center, Building G.
Yes.
G for golly or great or whatever.
Good.
Yeah good. They renamed the liberal arts building after me, K.
K
building. I appreciate that. Yes. The only building that got a logical letter was the fine arts building. Somehow they got
F
for fine arts. And I don't know what Tech was stuck with, but A or B or something.
It's interesting. I've been here almost 41 years, and I know all the buildings by their names. So to have to go back and learn an alphabet letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a lot of buildings on this campus. We added a couple more. I think we're pretty much at capacity for buildings here. But at the top of each building, pretty much on every corner, there's those big white letters on a blue background. So it's pretty easy to find your way around the campus if you haven't been here before by also calling the buildings by a single letter. So this is next Wednesday, April 13th, 7:30 in the morning for registration and a free continental breakfast. There's also lunch, by the way, at 1 o'clock, and prizes. Oh my gosh.
Oh, we give away great prizes. That's a real fun part of it. And the other thing I want to point out is we do accept walk-ins. We encourage people to call and register. But if you don't and you wake up that morning and decide that you want to come or the evening before, please come on out and join us for a morning and early afternoon of just great information and some good meals and prizes.
Yes. I should mention two of our distinguished administrative type people. Dr. Brenda Hildreth is the coordinator of Student Outreach and Support Program, SOS. Okay. Boy, they got a SWAT team for helping people, right?
Absolutely.
And also, Chad Austin will be speaking to our director of career services, and he helps with placement and other questions about getting a job in general, too. Those reservations you mentioned, the information on the sheet says it's either Cynthia at a phone number or Brenda herself at a phone number. So I'm just going to give Cynthia's phone number right now for, again, non-traditional health careers for men this coming Wednesday morning, April 13th, 313-845-9629. Again, 313 845-9629. You can just drop on by to the Health Career Center, room G150. But also, just because it's an easy name to remember, just call the general phone number here at the college, 845-9600, 313-845-9600. And you probably remember the name of Diane Green. Pretty easy to remember. And Diane can either transfer you or take the info. Because if you aren't coming, we want to have, you know, maybe enough food for breakfast and lunch and enough prizes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
And enough seats, of course, and all that, and handouts. It's all part of the planning. And so these are great events. And they're free to the public as well as students here on this campus or anywhere else. They've been going on for several years now. Of course, the topics change a little bit in the background, and the updated information is always important. But it's certainly a great way to learn more about these programs. And
actually, so, it's our ninth year of doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to say.
Got our 10th anniversary coming up next year.
Oh, my goodness. There's going to be a prize for that, too.
Yes,
right?
A big one.
Okay. I can't recommend it more. It's really hard finding out this information, even if you use the internet to get updated information. And did we mention before, of course, there's going to be actual Henry Ford College students that either have been in the program or are currently in these individual programs that will tell their own side, the student's side, to the programs, what they thought of them, and the difficulty level, and the amount of studying they had to do, and so it's not just our teachers trying to get you to sign up here, although we would like you to, of course, because we think it's a good program from our side too. But also, you get to hear and talk to the students throughout this morning.
And absolutely, that's crucial. And we find that individuals participating in the event get great feedback from the students themselves. They have great questions that they ask the students. They enter into good dialogue that helps to clarify that, yes, this is the area or this is the program I want to pursue.
Okay, so just one more time on this, and I have a quickie question for Diane here. But for reservations to the Non-Traditional Health Careers for Men for next Wednesday morning, contact Cynthia here at Henry Ford College, 313-845-9629, or call the general number, 313-845-9600, and ask for Diane Green, who is our guest today. Finally, I mentioned at the beginning that registration is open for spring and summer and mm-hmm. fall semesters here, and the early bird gets the best worms. If you call classes worms, which is not a good metaphor. No, not at all. The choices diminish as you get closer and closer. And even just starting to consider what classes might be available and maybe how you have to restructure your work schedule or your family schedule
Absolutely.
To fit things in, that's very important. And, of course, any kinds of help on enrolling or registering, first of all, being admitted, but also enrolling and registering is now in our Welcome Center building, right?
Well, we in counseling also still work with our current students
okay.
who are matriculating. We want
okay.
those students to call the counseling office at 845-9611, set up your appointment with a counselor to come in, go over your eval. It's extremely important if students are planning on transferring to make sure mm-hmm. that everything is lining up appropriately for you. New students, they complete their application process, they take their placement test, they meet with an advisor to select that first semester of courses. That does occur in the Welcome Center. And the counselors are, and I have to admit, I have not learned my alphabet as it relates to the buildings. We're in the Learning Resource Center
right.
building. So
right close to 5101 Restaurant and the Student Center, too.
Yes.
We're sort of kitty corner over from the Student Center.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the drop-off area,
the
too. That's the,
yeah.
that little circle drop-off
right.
from our main entrance at 5101. Evergreen is that building that you can enter right there, and counseling is on the main floor?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
To the right.
Again, they can just call mm-hmm. 845-9611 to set up those appointments.
If they're current students, right?
If current students.
Right,
and we do see new students in the counseling
sure,
office
sure.
as well.
Yeah. If you're already an enrolled student, of course, you can go directly to the computer, as they say. But it's always good to touch base with the counseling department to find out, again, how you're doing in terms of transferability once you finish your program. And maybe they have other issues that are coming up, or the, you know, and let's see, financial aid is in what building these days? Is there over
in
Welcome
Center? They're in the Welcome Center as well, but students who are having academic and financial aid issues end up in counseling, because with a lot of those situations, we're the resolve point where they come in to have documents signed and paperwork completed.
Well, one place or the other will help you here at Henry Ford College. Diane Green, thank you very much for coming to the Journal. Hope the program goes well. Non-traditional health careers for men, next Wednesday morning, April 13th. So call us, Cynthia, at 313-845-9629, or call the main number, 313-845-9600. Ask for Diane Green. The counseling office is 313-845-9611. A lot of information, too, about all of this, and including this workshop, right on the website, hfcc.edu. We still use the extra C because we can't figure out how to get one less C. Somebody else took it before we got there.
So we look forward to seeing you. Please come on out and join us on Wednesday, April 13th, starting registration at 7:30 in the morning. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're going to let you hear Bernie Sanders, of course, has a lot of supporters. Jim Hightower on our show for his commentaries is actually introducing Bernie Sanders out in Wyoming a couple days ago. And it's just a very interesting speech. And you get to know Jim Hightower is not just a guy that sits in a little room in Texas recording his opinions. He is well regarded throughout the country. Even, you know, Ralph Nader said he thought Jim Hightower should run for president. That's Nader's endorsement. He didn't achieve that glory. But anyway, here's comments from Jim Hightower for a few minutes. Introducing Bernie Sanders is not a commercial or advertisement, but you hear Hightower sort of summing up his own personal points of view, too, which he has reflected in all of the editorials that he's had on this show. A progressive, great spokesperson for that point of view, Jim Hightower. Take a listen here, and we'll be back with more local news and alternative views on the new WHFR Journal.
Hey, agitators, this is Deanna, the resident nerd of Hightower Land. We thought you'd like to hear Hightower introduce Bernie Sanders in Laramie, Wyoming last night after Bernie won the primaries in Wisconsin. So here it is. Enjoy.
Good evening, Wyoming. It is my pleasure to introduce former Agricultural Commissioner of the state of Texas, Jim Hightower. Hello, Wyoming! Hello, revolutionaries! Wow, what a fabulous, fabulous event. This is what a fabulous presidential campaign this is. What a fabulous opportunity it is. Just makes me happier than a flea at a dog show to be standing up here looking out at all of you Bernieistas as we take power back to the American people at the grassroots level. And what better place to come talk about the inequality state of America than the equality state of Wyoming? The problem in this country is the powers that be. Too few people, and I'm talking about a handful of billionaires and corporate executives, they control too much of the money and power in our country, and they're using that control to take more from you and me for them. Now, you know, economists have a technical term for this: stealing. Woody Guthrie had that great song. As I travel through this world, I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. It's the fountain pens. The fountain pens are doing the serious stealing in our society today. It's a big time for America, a big time for presidential politics, a big time for we the people, a big time for democracy itself. I come to you not just from Austin, Texas, but from South Austin. We got a little different attitude south of the river. We're a little more irreverent. Our unofficial slogan over there is, we're all here because we're not all there. Well, I think we're all here tonight because we know that the powers that be on Wall Street and in Washington and the corporate suites, they're not at all there in comprehending what America is all about. Those powers that be, they're as confused as goats on AstroTurf when it comes to understanding that in America, we're supposed to be all in this together. But they want to separate themselves. And by the powers that be, I'm talking about the downsizers and privatizers. I'm talking about the Walmart wage whackers and the big oil frackers. I'm talking about the bosses, the bankers, the big shots, the bastards, and the bullshitters who think that they can run roughshod over us. They might think that they're the top dogs and we're just a bunch of fire hydrants out here in the countryside. But look at what's happening in Wyoming here tonight. We're going to send them a message. You know, inequality doesn't just happen. It's planned. It's decided by corporate executives sitting in comfortable executive suites. It's decided by their lobbyists and by their Congress critters whom they have bought. They have made decisions. They put out a whole array of forces against us to steal our rights, their campaign dollars, their lobbyists, their Fox News, their union busters, offshoring, their front groups, their governors and their legislatures like yours and mine, their courts. You know, they say that in sex, I don't know a lot about this, but they were explaining to me backstage, they say that in sex, using a feather can be erotic. But using the whole chicken, that's just nasty. They're using the whole chicken. That's why we have to have a big politics to create big change in this country for the people. And we're not going to get that from the Republican freak show that they're running over there in their primaries. I hear Donnie Trump and I hear Ted Cruz. I hear this gaggle of Goofy and Daffy and Dopey and Grumpy that they've had. And I think 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest? So we have to have a candidate in the Democratic primary who is going to stand up for America's workaday majority and rally them into a democratic revolution to overthrow the plutocrats, the autocrats, and the kleptocrats who think that they can run roughshod over us. And luckily, we have one such candidate. Everybody say Bernie together. Bernie. Bernie. Yeah. And here he comes. My message to you tonight is it's not up to Bernie, it's up to you and me. It's up to us. We've got to do the heavy lifting. Let's get together and we can do it. We can take power to the people and move America forward, not take America back. The Tea Party did that. We're back 100 years already. We need to go forward with all the people, and this man is going to get it done. Bernie Sanders, our candidate, the people's president of the United States.
So there you have it. That's a little reflection on a little experience of Jim Hightower live in Wyoming at a Bernie Sanders rally. And again, we do agree with Bernie that the populist spirit, the progressive spirit, we do want change because there are good answers out there to make things better for all of us. I'm a big fan of equality myself. thought that was a basic principle of this country. But nonetheless, and I'm not endorsing any candidate on the air, certainly not. But I am endorsing, of course, participation, as Jim Hightower always talks about. Whatever candidate you are for, you need to not just vote for them when appropriate, but also work for the campaign and however you can. Okay, you could give money if you have any money, but actually helping to hand out flyers or going door to door or working a phone bank or whatever is very, very important to all of these candidates and whoever you personally believe you want to support and you would like to see in office. You need to actually be part of the system in order to get them elected and to make sure they or to make sure they stay elected. And so we'll do what we can here on the new WHFR Journal to give you background and information about the local candidates, certainly. But the spirit of populism is very important, because I think that's all, in general, good for democracy, whichever candidate that you choose to support. Okay, looking at the newspapers that we get regularly, I get subscription at my house to Dearborn Press and Guide and also the Dearborn Times Herald. And I do look at the Arab American News, because their paper is actually published on Saturdays. It's also free in the print version every place in the week. But I like to give you updated stories, so I go to their website. And I also go to the Press and Guide website and the News Herald website, too, for any late breaking news from their sources. Highly recommend the Arab American News. Arab American News is a great resource. Real newspaper people with actual reporters. I'll be sharing with you their report on a story, one of the main stories that happened this week at the Dearborn City Council that none of the other papers have covered yet. Okay, quickly, looking at last Sunday's Press and Guide from Sunday, April 3rd. Again, if you're listening to a podcast, I know today is April the 8th, Friday, April the 8th. And we mentioned Judge Mark Plawecki was going to have an announcement about the Michigan Supreme Court. And yes, of course, yeah, he's seeking a seat there. So he's going to run for the Michigan Supreme Court. The seat he is going to try for was vacated by former Justice Mary Beth Kelly. And Plawecki is currently in his sixth two-year term as Chief Judge of the 20th District Court. He was first elected to the Dearborn Heights bench in 1994. At age 33, he was the youngest judge ever elected to the city's district court. So he's got quite a long history there and in being a judge. Okay? And I was hoping there would be a background on why there was that vacancy, because I remember, I think there was, I don't want to cast aspersions, but I think there was some, not just political issues, but there was some reason about why Mary Beth Kelly is not continuing, and I think it might have been taxes or some other little problem like that. Not too major, not a felony crime, I don't think. I don't know. I should have looked that up, but I would have expected that in the paper, unless they cut it off the end because they're short of space, that's the way they do that. In additional information, the paper will just cut things at the end, and you put the less important things at the end. But Jody Rampala, who writes freelance for the Dearborn Press and Guide, is a very good writer, good journalist, And I bet in the original copy, before it was clipped, she put down why that seat was vacated. Also be interested to know, and it's not here in the story, is when do we start voting for him? And do we have to, is he going to be in the primary in August, or is his name just going to be magically on the ballot in November? It doesn't say in that story. So we'll follow up when we know more about that. Okay. Interesting. University of Michigan Dearborn, their commencement on May 1st, that is the people graduating from U of M Dearborn, they're going to be graduating not in Dearborn, but they're going to be part of the ceremonies at the Chrysler Center. I've heard that pronounced Chrysler Center also, but it's spelled Chrysler, not Chrysler, and that's going to happen at May 1st. So certainly they've got a huge area there, and they say that one reason is that they can actually get more guest tickets for each graduate here from U of MD. So, but the, of course, the graduates have to drive to Ann Arbor. But that is a beautiful ceremony, and I went through that for my my first master's degree, and was able even to get my parents to come to see that in Ann Arbor. Of course, I was a graduate student at University of Michigan at the time, so it was kind of appropriate to have the ceremony there. But just so you wonder what's going on, I guess they just do not have a big enough area here at U of MD for all the graduates and all the guests. And that's good that they've got so many graduates and so many guests. So now they can have up to 10 guests, 10 tickets for their guests besides the graduate themselves. So that's what's happening at U of MD. Okay. Looking at last Wednesday's Dearborn Times Herald, I know we've already covered a couple stories there. The new third candidate entering the 19th District Court race, Attorney Gene Hunt. And let's see here. By the way, my usual co-host, John Conroy, is out today trying to recover. He's a little under the weather, and the weather is so cold, I think you'd want to be under a cover somewhere because it's back to wintertime. I feel sorry for all the little flowering bulbs that have already peeked out of the ground, because it's going to go down below freezing again tonight and maybe only get as high as 36 tomorrow. Later today, it's supposed to be, oh my gosh, snow? So, there you go. Now, I don't see anything. Oh, there's a nice story back. It's a commentary. There's a page in the Press and Guide, the Times Herald, and it's actually all devoted to the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce that represents basically Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. I'm not sure they're including any other cities right now. But the president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce is Jackie Lovejoy, and she has a sort of a column supporting several activities coming up that are both sponsored by the chamber. And, of course, there's always a list of new members, people that have just joined the chamber for the networking and the information sharing that can happen there. So she starts with a baseball quote, and I know today is baseball day, and so probably no one is listening to this show live, but if you're catching it as a podcast, here's a quote from Al Lopez, he spent 36 years in Major League Baseball as a catcher and manager. Okay, anyway, he said, quote, "Do what you love to do and give it your very best, whether it's business or baseball or the theater or any field. If you don't love what you're doing and you can't give it your best, get out of it. Life is too short. You'll be an old man before you know it." And Jackie Lovejoy says, "This is such a great quote that inspires me. I can only imagine he loved what he did. I can't imagine crouching behind home plate for that long." That just goes to show you, this quote proves if you do what you love, you won't ever work, so-called work. You'll labor at tasks you love. And I think that's very true. And certainly at places like Henry Ford College and other great educational opportunities around, you can get into almost anything. There's so many choices for careers. You have to investigate, of course, and the best way to do that is in person, either at a college, and like the seminar we mentioned coming up next Wednesday here, and we have a couple others coming up too. Oh my goodness, let's see. Well, not until the next day, the 14th, on Thursday the 14th, there's a pre-pharmacy seminar. So if you're interested in the pharmacy programs, there's an annual Future Pharmacist Spring Seminar for pre-pharmacy students. And that's next Thursday here on the main campus from 11 a.m. to 12:20 p.m. And also 1:10 to 2:30. I don't know, same presentation, but another time, in room K14 of the Ruther Liberal Arts Building. That is Building K on the main campus. It's free. It's free. So pre-pharmacy next Thursday, either an hour and a half session starting at 11 or an hour and a half session starting at 1 o'clock in the K building, in the basement, by the way, room 14 is in the lower level. So I'm just saying we've got all these things happening, and that's a great way to learn about a program. Just reading about it, even on the internet, is not everything you need. Jackie Lovejoy in her column, going back to, again, the president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. She says, another profession one must love is teaching. And you have just one day, and now it's too late, to submit your Teacher of the Year nomination form to the chamber. Thank you, Chamber of Commerce. Not enough recognition for good teachers, and in fact, all the good teachers, as well as the best teachers. And thank you. And this year, by the way, the deadline, the date was yesterday. This was in the Wednesday paper. She says they had over 1,000 nominations last year. So a lot of students, and maybe other teachers, think we've got a lot of good teachers in this area, obviously. 1,000 nominations. Okay. And what's coming up? Well, it's a little bit pricey, but they have what's called a Business Builder Series. It's breakfasts. And it's at the Dearborn Country Club, 800 North Military, that's sponsored by the Chamber. Early bird registration is $45. And if you're a Chamber member, it's only $30. Breakfast will begin at 7:30 a.m. Oh, my goodness. I'm not a morning person. But it sounds really good, and she talks about it. It's Cheryl Connolly of Ford Motor Company will be giving the presentation about the next 20 years. That's right. That's right. What's going to happen over the next 20 years, not just at Ford? I'm sure she can't give any specific details about Ford cars coming up, although that's my next story. Not that I know for sure, but I've read some other articles elsewhere. But that should be a great morning. That's actually 2 hours long. So you're eating breakfast and at the Country Club, Dearborn Country Club, and also helping to support the chamber with that cost. I'm sure, though, that the catered breakfast there they provide is probably most of the cost. So I know what breakfast go for. Okay. But that sounds like fun, especially if you're a business person or anybody that's even looking at careers. If you can afford the $45, it'd be interesting to see what a professional who's a working futurist at Ford Motor Company, again, her name, Cheryl Connolly, is going to say about the next 20 years. Because if you don't know about the future, you're probably making not the best choices right now, like for political candidates and so on. I had to toss that in. And last but not least in her column, this is not the last thing, but many things, she does mention 6 weeks away to the opening of the Dearborn Farmers Market on May 20th. We're hoping it's warm enough to let something grow, let the chickens lay their organic eggs. I can only imagine not too many vendors will be there on the first day. About 6 weeks, it could turn balmy, you know, Michigan. So let's hope so, huh? This is the new WHFR Journal. Jay Koronick with you until 2 o'clock today. About 20 minutes to go in the show. And Kitty Love's Highway 61 show is going to actually have a live band performing during her show today, as she does every couple of weeks. And it's going to be Downriver Dan and his band. So that's going to be another great blues show. And, of course, finishing up with blues this afternoon, Friday Blues. Boy, we do it like no one else for more than 25 years. But from 4 to 6 is Go With the Flow, Mike Holloway's great rock and blues show. Okay. I'll have those stories about Ford Motor Company in just a moment. I'm going to play these PSAs because they explain in an entertaining way and as briefly as possible what's happening here at WHFR starting just 1 week from this Sunday.
Radiothon 2016 is coming Sunday, April 17th until Saturday, April 23rd. It's the one time out of the year where we ask you, the WHFR listener, to pledge your support to your favorite non-commercial educational radio station, WHFR.FM. If you want to pledge now, go to WHFR.FM and choose the click to donate button. Radiothon 2016 coming April 17th until Saturday, April 23rd.
Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR.FM, proudly presents Radiothon 2016 Fundraiser Kickoff Party at the New Place Lounge, Saturday, April 16th, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please join WHFR and your favorite DJs for a night of blues featuring an all-star jam session with many of Detroit's finest musicians. This blues jam is the first of many events happening during Radiothon Week, April 17th through 23rd. New Place Lounge is located at 22723 Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. A $5 donation at the door for this 18 and over event. Visit WHFR.FM for more info about Radiothon 2016 and how to donate.
Yes, we're so excited about our Pledge Drive Week because we're going to have very exciting shows. There are always exciting shows, of course, here in WHFR, things that other stations just don't play because, well, that's our format, to do things other stations aren't doing, but things that are equal to or better than what they're doing. Okay, local music, local news and information, regional artist, music that is not covered on Detroit radio hardly at all, that's what we play here. And we have to have your support, and that's coming up starting just a week from Sunday. You can go to our website, and that's whfr.fm. The new donation information is there, right there on the website with a credit card. You can make a donation now. I'm not pitching it now, but I'm just saying all the incentives, the basic incentives from the station are also shown. We've got little pictures there that should be up today anyway. Consider what you would like to support, because we can't be here without your support. The college pays us a small stipend, but we have to raise 60-70% of the rest of the money that we are totally essential for operation. We have to raise that ourselves. Okay, looking back here at Dearborn Press and Guide, this is last Wednesday. We'll go to that Ford story in just a second. There's going to be a marathon tomorrow morning in Dearborn, people running a race, and they're dressed up as little green men, or they have little green balloons around, so don't get worried about that. If you see that, it's not an invasion from Mars, all right? Bad joke, but there you go. National Volunteer Week starts, Sunday, April 10th to 16th, that's oh so important. So many organizations here in Dearborn that could not exist, could not do the great job they're doing, such as WHFR, as well as like the Dearborn Animal Shelter, without volunteers, without people just saying, I will work for nothing to help out. And there's so many. And there's a little story in the Press and Guide this last Wednesday, April 6th, and it's on page B4, the second section, Get Involved National Volunteer Week. And certainly even the city of Dearborn needs all the volunteers it can get to do many different things. Its commissions and its boards, they need a lot of people working for free to help them out too. Also mentioned that related to the last two stories, on April 22nd, 2 weeks from today, 8 and 14 makes 22. It'll be a special edition of the new WHFR Journal, and as we've done in the past, we're welcoming back Dearborn Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. for the whole hour. So if you want any specific questions answered, I'm going to survey as many as I can fit into the time. He's supposed to arrive about 15 past. Often he gets here a little earlier than that, so we have him the whole time. Not interrupting his presence too much to mention it's also time to call in your pledges, but we still have to do that briefly during that time. But if you have any questions, you can, in fact, questions or comments about this show or any other, just send them to whfr@hfcc.edu. That's whfr@hfcc.edu. And if you want to have any comments or questions about the journal, just in the subject line of the email, put down journal at least, and it'll get forwarded to me and yours truly, Jay Koronek, and I'll be able to ask the mayor your question, unless I'm already asking it. And then I'll ask it twice. No, I'll ask it, very firmly ask it. How's that? All right. That's the 22nd. You want to tune in for that, or be sure to listen to our podcast, since all of our journal shows are saved on the website, whfr.fm, for you to listen to anytime. They're available starting, of course, right after the broadcast is over. Now, what about that Ford story? Okay, shuffling through the papers here. Got it. This is from an email, actually, that came to me here at the college. There's a speaker that'll talk about this, but I read about it elsewhere in the last couple weeks. In fact, you know, there's been a little tiff. Ford Motor Company, based in Dearborn, Michigan, has said it's going to invest billions, I think it's $1.6 billion, to build a new plant in San Luis Potosí, Mexico, that will be manufacturing small cars. They'll be turning them out by 2018, making it the latest automaker to expand its presence there. And they have announced, because they were criticized by Donald Trump, he has said, I think about a month ago when the idea was first sort of leaked, he said they're not going to do it. If he was elected president, he won't let them open that factory in Mexico. Of course, how he would do that legally, I have no idea. I guess you can threaten or put tariffs up or something. Ford has come out and said in response to that criticism by Donald Trump that no jobs will be lost in Michigan or in the U.S. And, of course, I say, yeah, but how many new jobs for people are going to be in Mexico instead? And it's good for the Mexicans, certainly. Again, why small cars in Mexico? What they intend to do is maybe even build, I read, a Ford Focus down there in 2018, because small cars don't have much of a profit margin. Okay, big cars, bigger size cars, actually, they could sell them cheaper, is what I'm saying, folks, a lot cheaper. They have a big margin of profit. That's why sometimes they can give you big discounts on them. Whether it's Ford trucks or Ford SUVs, this goes for all large trucks and SUVs. They can afford to build them in the U.S. even with our higher labor cost, because they have a higher profit margin. The price you pay gives them more profit per car. But in terms of the small cars, in order to keep them inexpensive, they have to make them where labor is cheaper. That's their argument, in order to have their big profit margin. So it's not for the good of the public that they produce automobiles. It's for the good of Ford Motor Company, and it goes the same for everybody else. Nonetheless, America is losing jobs to Mexico, and that's thanks to, of course, the trade agreement that Bill Clinton put in place. That Ross Perot, who ran as an independent against Clinton, said, we're going to hear a big sucking sound. And that is the whooshing sound of all the jobs leaving America and going to Mexico. In this case, there's none leaving, but there's no more being gained by this particular $1.6 billion new factory by Ford in Mexico. It's just interesting counterpoint to me that Toyota has several investments in Michigan, and they just announced in the last day, don't remember the news source, they're going to build a new $1 billion research and development center in Ann Arbor, investing in addition to, I think they have two other facilities in Michigan right now. Now, I guess research and development is different than actual manufacturing. They must be making a profit by actually giving more people in Michigan jobs, highly skilled, highly technical people, engineers, R&D people, designers, and so on. But Toyota thinks Michigan is a good enough place to do business. They're investing $1 billion more, and this will go in the Ann Arbor area. So I just wonder whether Ford really has to go to Mexico all that much. I mean, okay, as I said, manufacturing plant is not the same thing as an R&D operation. And the workers in San Luis Potosí Mexico may not have the high skills that are needed, scientific skills, engineering skills that are needed in order to pull off an R&D center down there in Mexico. But just somewhat ironic. Ford says they got to build this new plant, $1.6 billion in Mexico, and Toyota, a Japanese company, says they're going to put $1 billion more in a development in Michigan. Interesting, huh? Yes, the ironies of life. I've been telling you for several weeks that I can't understand why the city of Dearborn wouldn't have a big press release about the quality of water in Dearborn. And by golly, somebody must have been listening to this show. Here we go. Or they had a lot of calls to City Hall. The spring 2016 newsletter called The Back Fence. I did receive it at my house just yesterday. And there is a column, one story in there, about Dearborn's drinking water. It is safe. Levels of lead and copper well below established thresholds. What about mercury, though? What about all the other toxic pollutants? Well, they don't talk about that. But they do point out, and this is important, the city of Dearborn is responsible for providing high-quality drinking water but cannot control the variety of materials already present in residential home plumbing. If your home was built prior to 1950, your residential service lines contains lead. They say that rather definitely. Dearborn has approximately 33,000 service lines in the city, one to each house, most of which were installed prior to 1950. Residents can minimize any potential for lead exposure by flushing the tap, which means letting the water run for at least 30 seconds before using, especially at least 30 seconds, especially if the faucet has been inactive for long periods of time. Like if it's first thing in the morning, you go into the kitchen and, you know, sleeping through the night, haven't used the water, let it run before you use it for drinking. You can also use various purifying systems, of course. They don't talk about how you might be able to get somebody out to test your water in your house, because every house, every neighborhood is different. So call City Hall, and maybe there'll be a story in the next newsletter about how you're supposed to do that, or who they recommend. But it would be at your own cost. They're not going to do it for free, because the water coming to your house, to the street, outside your house, is good, is safe, at least in terms of the two big baddies, which is lead and copper. Although mercury, better not be there at all, because mercury is super poisonous. Anyway. All right, let's see what else we've got. We've got only 4 minutes to go, and Kitty Love is going to be starting Highway 61 Blues. The band is pretty much set up. They're probably going to do an air check after I get done talking. Thank you very much for waiting for me to finish. Two things quickly from the Arab American News. City Council, that's our Dearborn City Council, they want to hold business owners accountable at their meeting last Tuesday, April 5th. They commenced the revocation hearing with Dearborn Police in terms of the Live Lounge, that's L-I-V, liquor license. And so there was discussion, and Councilman Mike Cerini told the Arab American News that the city is concerned over the extensive amount of police resources used for the Live Lounge. It cost them a lot of money because the Live Lounge is there. Cerini said that over the last few months, city council has been flooded with complaints from residents about the nuisance transpiring at the vicinity, which is words that don't make sense, but anyway, you get the idea, I suppose. He noted that during one incident, Dearborn Police had to call Dearborn Heights Police for assistance. Wow, they don't have a lot of cops out at night. I saw one call one night to Dearborn Police here in Dearborn, 33 police cruisers arrived, 33 of them, with at least two cops in each. So they can respond. You know, I don't know what they were doing that night, but there you go. They had to ask Dearborn Heights Police for help. Wow. And so the city is basically saying that if the businesses don't take care of their disturbances themselves, they get to hire bouncers or something, what do they call them, security guards, then they're just going to take away their license. And there'll be the revocation hearing is going to continue on Monday, April 11th at the City Administrative Center. Last but not least, 2 minutes to go here. Islamic Center of America shines blue. It's a beautiful picture on their website, which is ArabAmericanNews.com. Okay. Of the Islamic Center of America, one of the largest mosques in America, maybe the largest, I think, and they put blue lights on the outside of the white building, so it glows blue in observance of what? Of Autism Awareness Month. Yes, April every year is Autism Awareness Month, and it's an issue, and the Islamic Center wanted to draw attention to this, and so they partnered with Blue Hands United of Dearborn, an advocacy organization, to kick off the Light It Up Blue campaign, which aims to educate a community about the disorder. And just a quick quote here, among the greatest challenges to our community faces in recognizing this disorder is a lack of awareness and information. And that is from Mervat Kadu, who is the chair of the Ladies of the Islamic Center of America, in a statement. And but even greater obstacle to a proper diagnosis is a prevailing mentality among many family members of who's affected that the topic is taboo, as if it's, I don't know, person is mentally inferior or inferior as a human being just because of the and there's been many degrees, of course, of autism. They're also fighting, of course, the ideas that vaccines that are given, like, I don't know, smallpox or something like that, is that there's a link between, no, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and autism, and the findings were completely retracted in 2010, and 6 years prior, almost all of its authors co-signed a partial retraction. So they're trying to make sure you understand that in order to avoid autism, you don't have to not get, you don't have to make sure your kids don't get the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. That is not a link. That has been proven now not to be a link. Autism is a spectrum disorder that touches individuals differently, but patients share common core symptoms. And a lot of these are, in case you don't know, lack of eye contact, doesn't smile when smiled at, doesn't respond to his or her name or to the sound of a familiar voice, doesn't follow objects visually, doesn't point or wave goodbye or use other gestures to communicate, and so on. And you'll see a lot of information. There's a story in either Press and Guide or Times Herald about Autism Awareness Month, so it's very important to pay attention and to learn about that so that people with especially young children get the diagnosis quickly. And there's all kinds of, besides, there's all kinds of approaches to helping a child cope with that and deal with it, and including later on education and training that can allow them complete equal access to life in America. So that's the end of the show for today. I hope you will come back next week to Highway 61. And, well, Highway 61 is coming on right now. That's what I wanted to say. Our show is the new WHFR Journal, and we'll be back next week at 1 p.m. or on our website after 2. The show will be there as a podcast, as always, at whfr.fm. So this is WHFR, Dearborn. Have a great day.